one, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for one of our entries in the Recovery Idol, Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for N-A, C-A, A-A, L-A. No, see?
LA?
I, look at that. I went slow and I even said L-A. S-L-A, S-L-A, A-C-R-R-R-M-M, D-R-A, P-A-H-A.
L-B-A.
L-B-A.
L-B-J.
Lip Balm Anonymous. Mm-hmm. Lyndon Baines Johnson.
JFK.
I speak for my own Johnson. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet. I'm still on the doldrums of my...
Bruce hasn't slept since before the last show.
Yeah.
And I'm still slightly manic.
That's true.
I'm still slightly manic from signing my employment contract today and going to my very first church choir rehearsal. Oh.
Well, and what else, Shelley? What did they tell you about the work thing?
Oh, they went ahead and ran all my paperwork and everything.
Why?
Because the secretary there knows me, and she said, well, I know you'll pass the drug test, so I went ahead and did yours.
She goes, I'm pretty sure you'll pass the drug test.
Yeah. We're pretty sure you will, too.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not worried about it. Unless I get some strange craving for poppy seed muffins between now and then.
Hey, I lived with this gal for a long time. She was drinking 2/5 a day. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which really says a lot about your... perceptions of
I do that.
You're
come
into
whiskers asleep.
Of okay.
I mean, she used to like to work in the yard a lot, and she loved cranberry juice.
Yep.
Oh my god!
I had like a year long bladder infection.
Yeah. I remember when you used to say got cut by the roses.
You used to.
I was trimming the roses.
Do you used to like thin your cranberry juice out?
Yes, with the clear liquid.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, because straight cranberry juice is just too much
just
sugar.
It's just awful, yeah.
What's too much sugar?
I won't even look at cranberry juice. Mm. I'm like, ugh. The last time that I was in the hospital, they tried to give me cranberry juice. You know, they're bringing a little breakfast tray and everything, and there was cranberry juice. I'm like, I looked in there and said, get that out of here. I can't even, yeah. I don't want to think about it. Yeah.
Bring me grapefruit juice, because I like Greyhounds better than, oh no.
No, I never did that.
I used to make screwdrivers with a big glass of vodka and a spoonful of tang.
Tang.
That's a rough screwdriver right there.
Yeah.
We managed.
To call that straight vodka.
We managed.
Coloring. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
At this juncture, I would like to ask if you've brought up the other boozy news on the screen.
I don't know. How many stories you got there?
Like four.
Four? Okay. I don't know where the other boozy news is at, actually. Did you email it
to
me?
I left it on my desktop, and you were supposed to put it on your desktop.
How would I know that?
Because
I told you to.
When
did
you tell
me? Wait.
Because I was asleep.
Don't forget, he literally... I got to tell you something. Bruce came out here, and he sat down in the chair, and in the time it took us to have a conversation with him, he actually fell asleep sitting up in the chair.
Yes, I had to poke him.
So,
you edited a show.
Yes, I edited a show and everything.
Okay. So, are you going to start with your boozy news you have there?
Yeah, let's finish up this stuff and then we'll... Actually, I'm going to just make this two stories because I'm going to lump the first three together.
Okay.
We have three people who are our dumb criminals of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Long in South Daytona, Florida...
Florida!
Was arrested on suspicion of theft after a patrol officer spotted him pedaling his bike down the street with a 59-inch TV set on the handlebars.
Yeah, that'd do it.
I think he had just had it installed.
On his bike?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you put the satellite dish, by the way?
Yeah, that's one of those That's one of those bikes.
He had on a hockey helmet with a satellite dish on top.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those? I'm sure other parts of the country don't have this, but in Southern California, every once in a while, I see these guys with, like, these bikes that they've spent, like, thousands of dollars on, but not in a good way.
No, they look like they're riding around with a small condo.
Like these low rider bikes and stuff. And you're looking at it, it's got like gold anodized rims and everything. And I'm like, you know, at 14, that's probably really cool. And the next year, it's really not cool because you should be trained to buy a car.
At 37, it's not a good look on you.
I've seen it, too. I've seen a guy that was in his 30s on one of those, and I immediately thought of one of my sponsees.
First thing I thought about, well, you know what, after four DUIs, you just resign yourself to the fact you'll be riding a bike for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. And then we have Matthew Davis, who pleaded guilty in Australia. He was arrested on suspicion of theft because police noticed a large office safe protruding out of the back of his vehicle.
He had that installed.
Yeah, that's, that's another
installment.
Blow it.
Another installment.
That's a blow it right
These are
there.
All installation stories.
We have Stephen Kirkbride, who was convicted of theft in Kendal, England. And this one cracked me up. After a clothing store clerk on the witness stand pointed out the defendant who was wearing the coat to court that he stole, that he was accused of stealing.
Nice.
That's brilliant.
Nice.
That's brilliant.
One-stop shopping. He brought the evidence with him.
Nice coat. CNR?
Yeah, really.
Got a receipt for that?
Okay, here's one. I'm not exactly sure what this is, and I don't know that I understand it, but I'm going to report it. Maybe you guys can clarify this for me.
Probably.
Roy Griffith, John Sanborn, and Douglas Ward were arrested in Deerfield Township, Michigan, charged with stealing a 14-foot-long stuffed alligator from a barn.
This is a redneck one
they
right here.
They dragged it away in their truck and used it to surf in the mud. When the gator's owner tracked them down, they denied the theft and insisted that theirs is an all totally different
14-foot-long
stuffed alligator. Now, one of the gentlemen was breathalyzed and his blood alcohol reading was 0.4. That's pretty drunk.
Okay, what is it you don't get about that?
Well, they call it mud bogging. What
the mud bogging.
How do you surf in the mud with a stuffed alligator?
As in tobogganing?
Yeah, they put
you tie it to the back of the bumper.
Yeah,
and
like
you
a
sit
big
on
old
it
ass
and they
pickup
drive
truck.
Around.
Oh, it's still on. Okay, see in the story it says that they dragged it away with their truck, but it doesn't say that they used the truck to do the.
Oh
well,
yeah,
you couldn't mud bog without having.
Yeah, you gotta be dragged around.
You need propulsion.
You go on YouTube sometimes, look up mud bogging, and it's like those things like you see them every once in a while with a guy like on a street. And they've got, like, some snow dish or something that's not made to go on the street.
Uh-huh.
And it always happens. The first time they go around a curve, that thing swings way wide, and he hits, like, a telephone pole.
My daughter went to college in Missouri. She was amazed by the fact of the stuff they tie to the back of a truck that you sit on while they drive around.
Drive away.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Sofas on skis.
Sofas?
Yeah. A sofa on skis.
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
You never really know what's going to happen because when I lived in Oregon, I saw uses for trucks that it had never occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest use of trucks in Oregon, theft. You know, like go in the cornfield and just fill up the back of the truck with corn.
Yeah.
Go out into the woods and cut down a bunch of trees that I'm not so sure you're allowed to cut down.
Yeah.
But you make a crap load of firewood.
Cash.
Yeah.
Shelley Walsh got.
Let's see. In Germany.
Achtung, baby.
Yes, you better Achtung, because German nudists are now going to be allowed to fly in the nude on airplanes.
Lufthansa,
wow.
Baby.
Yes.
Lufthansa?
This is an actual company that is going to be offering these nude flights so that nudists can get on the plane, they can take off their clothes and enjoy their flight in the comfort of their own skin or whatever, or of someone else's skin if they're in the Mile High Club. I love this. The company's founder is Enrico Hess.
Enrico Hess?
Hess.
Is he from Argentina?
I don't know. He's one of those boys from Brazil.
Is he related to Herman?
It doesn't say. It's about 372 euros. For a trip between Erfurt and Usedom in the Baltic Sea.
That's where I'm flying.
Which is apparently expensive.
So it's real easy to get in the Mile High Club if you're a nudist, I would think.
Gives a whole new meaning to ride in the jump seat, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, baby.
The pilots and the cabin crew, however, will remain clothed. That's no fun.
I think the stewardesses should be naked.
You would think that.
I would. Although, do you remember back in the 60s when, like, all the stewardesses were portrayed as, like, these hot chicks? And now, not so much.
Yeah, not so much.
Well, they got that new show coming on, though.
What is it called? Hot Stewardesses?
No, it's they actually have a new TV show coming on this fall.
Is it?
And it's about, which airline was
reality? Is it a reality one?
No, it's like set in the 60s with one of the airline. I don't remember which airline it is.
What was the one that did Fly Me?
Yeah, I love that.
I can't remember.
But yeah,
probably like TWA or something.
Yeah, it's something like that. And the stewardesses are all dressed like stewardesses, and they're all,
well, you know, the ones that still promote it like that. If you watch any of the Asian language ads, because I know you guys don't.
All Nippon Airways.
Yeah, like all those, you know, JAL. Good they've looking. Got like these hot stewardesses in what could only be, and they're like, we provide you the ultimate service. You know, and it's like, wow. What is the ultimate service?
Just putting fresh lipstick on, yeah.
Yeah.
In Sweden.
Svenska Flicka.
Per Johansson.
Don't get any on ya.
Per Johansson of Sorrow, wherever that is, in Sweden, apparently. He got home from work on Tuesday, went outside, it was raining very hard, and he heard a bellowing noise from the garden. He went over to take a look and found an elk that was stuck in an apple tree with three of its hooves off the ground. It was on one hoof.
How come you didn't read that off my version of the Boozy News?
Because I knew it was on this version, and I just skipped it.
There's a picture online.
He called like animal services to get somebody to come out and help him. They called a hunter to come out.
To help
who
him
shot
get
it
out of the tree.
No, the hunter did not shoot it. The hunter was there as like a backup in case something happened and the animal was then injured and in pain and needed to be put out of its misery.
I had just shot it to start with. Is it elk season, by the way, in Sweden?
I don't know.
Elk, a big animal.
Elk is a big
animal. You should
animal.
See this thing. It's up in a tree.
Yeah.
Bang.
Tell them why, Shelley.
I will. So they finally managed to get the elk out of the tree, whereupon it passed out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the elk had been, they determined, eating fermented apples. And the elk was hammered.
Oh, the picture
perfect.
Of the elk. You can look at
you
the elk,
tell.
And it's the animal kingdom, but you can tell the elk is hammered.
Yeah, completely hammered.
He's like leaning his head over and his like bottom lips out like.
And the elk stayed there in the garden, passed out all night. The hunter stayed, actually, in case something happened and the elk was obviously in pain and then he needed to put the elk.
The hunter was eating apples off the tree.
And then sloshed. The next morning, the elk got up and kind of staggered away, and he's fine. But
they woke up. The elk and the hunter woke up. You know, so booze makes for strange bed
fellows. First time the live elk was ever marinated.
Yeah.
Let's see. What is next? Oh, Mark will appreciate this.
Apparently,
story?
Apparently I won't like it.
Football story?
No, it was the Chivas brothers. Have crafted, it's actually crafted by Royal Salute, but they're using some of Chivas brothers' oldest and finest whiskeys in a blend.
Scotch boys.
That's a tribute to the oldest crown jewels in the British Isle, the Honours of Scotland. And all of the whiskies are at least 45 years old.
I thought that was Prince Charles.
No, all of the whiskies are 45 years old. And the bottle is made out of black porcelain and has 22 carats of gemstones plus 413 flawless black and white diamonds on the bottle. It will cost you $200,000 to buy a bottle of this whiskey, and only 21 bottles were created. So better get in line.
Anybody
now.
Out there who's still trying to figure out a Christmas gift for me?
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, the
and
thing
I saw
is,
the picture
we
of the
don't drink, but I believe in that. It's not so much about the
drinking.
Contents
about
of the bottle.
It.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I saw the picture of the bottle. You should look it up when you get home. Get online. It's the Honours of Scotland whiskey. It's the most beautiful bottle I've ever seen. It's just
because it's from
Bonnyweed,
Scotland.
Yeah, it's
gorgeous. If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Okay, we're going to skip that story.
You know what? It's the bottle. There's a perfume bottle.
Well, I've always said,
right, Cartier that has crystal panthers on it.
I've always explained to people I loved everything about scotch.
The way it's packaged,
the
way it
looks.
I love
the bottles it came in. I like the glasses you use. I like the way it sounds when it pours into the glass.
Was it single malt scotch? You know what? There's guys out there right now going, I love the way it I love the way it sounds when you hit the glass, too.
The way it I love
and Mark sending them out by in droves.
Except for how I felt.
The next day?
The next day, yeah.
Not that I got drunk on scotch.
Oh, clearly not.
No, I had a drink.
You felt the next day because you didn't have any more of it.
No, I had it. No, look, I don't remember ever blowing through a bottle of booze. I just remember having a drink. And $1,000 later?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was snorting coke.
I was going to say.
I maybe had another drink.
And that's the thing. Maybe the optimum or the pertinent term there is, I don't remember having, I don't remember that bottle.
Yeah.
You were like me, though. Drink first, then get really, really loaded.
A bottle of single malt scotch would last me a month.
Wow. You're not an alcoholic.
I said that several shows ago.
Yeah, you did.
In
got
Phoenix.
Very few reactions.
Oh. You done?
Yeah.
In Phoenix, a pregnant woman is in
people
the hospital after she broke into Turf Paradise and crawled through a ventilation space trying to get to the racetrack's money room.
That's a bad idea because, boy, they really, the security to try to break into a money room is.
I would bet it's extreme.
Well, this was.
Did
late
she get shot?
No, she didn't get shot.
She got stuck, I'm sure.
No, well, no. She's pregnant, so she's probably weighing a bit more than usual, so she crashed through the ceiling.
Yeah.
And she was injured, so they took her to the hospital.
And she wasn't in the money room when she came through, was she?
No.
No. I don't think you could go through the ceiling of the money room.
No.
She had two accomplices that were being held for second-degree burglary. They came through the vent after her that did not crash through.
Did they give their names?
They were in the money room either.
Yeah.
Heckle and Jekyll.
All their names. The thing is, the general manager of Turf Paradise said that he's suspicious because he said, how would they know where our money room is located because most of our employees don't even know that.
That's true.
And these people are not employees.
Well, how close to the money room were they?
Let's see.
He's in on it.
I don't think he is, but I think somebody.
First thing he's saying is, gee, how do they know where that is?
Well, somebody tipped him off.
Actually, it doesn't say how close they were to the money room.
Of course, if somebody tipped them off, they would have said, don't go through the ventilation shaft. You'll never make it.
You know what? I can tell you a group that would almost for sure know where it is. Almost for sure.
The Armored Car Company.
The Armored Car Company.
Yeah,
we may have just helped the manager of Turf Paradise crack the case.
It's for sure they would.
If he listens to this show, he has a good chance.
And I'll tell you what, those guys, talk to those guys, they walk into the market hands on guns.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, ready to shoot you dead.
Yeah, you don't have a long conversation with them.
No.
They're not real talkative.
No. How you doing today? Fine. Okay.
Picked up much money today? Get on your knees.
Yeah.
I see the armored car guys. I, like, walk a big circle around the car. I don't want to know. I don't want to get near it.
I love those guys. When they're parked out in front of a market or something, if you walk by and you're even looking at that truck, they just stare you down.
Yeah.
They get attentive really fast.
Yeah.
Let's see. In Germany.
I always figured they were doing coke. Hey, that guy over there is looking at us.
No, I think there's some dude in the back going, shh. In Germany.
In Germany, a taxi driver locked a female passenger in the trunk for 5 hours because there was a dispute over the fare. Mm-hmm. She got mad because she was traveling home. And she claimed that the driver took a roundabout route in order to jack up her fare.
I'm sure that's common.
I've had taxi drivers try to do that with me.
Yeah. She didn't want him to go that way. And he went that way anyway. When they got into a fight, he got out. Let me see where. He punched her in the face, then grabbed her and pushed her inside the trunk. Then he drove to his house, parked out in front, and left her in the trunk. Now, here's what I don't understand.
That's a really roundabout way to get her home.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand.
Did he leave the thing
she
running?
Called,
yeah,
no.
Waiting time.
She called the police on her cell phone from the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
But she was not. The police, apparently they didn't come because she was freed 5 hours later because passersby heard her banging on the trunk and shouting for help. Where were the police? Why didn't they come when she called them on her cell
Maybe
phone?
Maybe they couldn't triangulate or something like that.
Maybe.
She didn't
I
have a
know.
Smartphone or something.
But it doesn't say that they came right away. So
now Mark has told this on the show before, but Mark, you have a taxi driver story similar to that. Yes, you went to go to a meeting.
I was in Rockville, Maryland. Actually, I was in Washington, D.C. And I went to a meeting in Rockville, Maryland. Took two trains, going to any lengths to get to a meeting.
Of course.
Took two trains, got off the train, walked to the end of the metro station, and it was a T shape. You could go out to the left or the right. I went left, came out, found a taxi, had the taxi driver drive me to the meeting. $11 later, I got to the meeting. The meeting was on the other side of the metro station.
And you could, like, see it from where you had
absolutely
been.
Absolutely. I get to the meeting.
And
after
did the guy
meeting,
tell you?
No. After the, I didn't even see it at the time because I was a little late for the meeting. And I went in.
Right,
after
so you're
the meeting,
just jamming.
Yeah, after the meeting, I said, could somebody drive me to the metro station? And the five people I was standing around all started laughing.
It's right there.
Yeah, the guy said, he goes, that's it. It was across the street.
Oh, my gosh.
$11.
Had I gone out the other
door,
I'd have been across the street from the meeting.
You would have got there sooner and saved $11.
Exactly.
Sweet.
We're running way over time, but I got to do one more story. In Las Cruces, New Mexico, a woman has been charged $1,122 by a local hospital because she had to have a forcible body cavity search that was ordered by the narcotics agency that did not turn up any illegal substances.
She shouldn't have to pay.
Ooh.
She was, the police said they had credible information.
She should actually be able to charge for that.
Yeah. The police said they had credible information from a reliable source that the woman was concealing an ounce of heroin. So they took her into the hospital to have this body cavity search done. She, at the time, and has still claimed that she does not do drugs, did not have any drugs. And they didn't care.
I have a list of attorneys who you can contact.
Oh, yeah.
That would love this story.
You know what? Even, you know, Miss, I'll take anybody's case, Gloria Allred should be all over that.
Oh, she is suing, actually.
You know what the problem with that is? There's a lot of attorneys that actually would give her a chance to win. Gloria isn't one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Actually, no, sorry. She's not suing. What she's doing is she's refusing to pay the bill because she claims it was an unlawful arrest.
I don't think she should have to pay.
She should have to either. I think what happened was somebody got mad at her and called in a fake tip.
You're forced to do it. They turn up nothing. Why should you have to pay?
She has no priors, nothing.
Yeah.
Has no rap sheet.
I don't think she should have to pay.
Yeah.
I don't either. And that's the end of the boozy news. We went way over, so let's get on to the... Oh, no, this is the silent part, isn't it? Sorry.
Leave that in.
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you? At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
This is a... Your dreams were your ticket out.
He couldn't help himself.
I couldn't. I'm like the way... I couldn't help myself in the way that Shelley can't help it if it's any other kind of... You know what? If you pick any Van Halen song, Van Halen, not Van Hagar, it'll happen to Shelley too. I just thought maybe she might just bring one up just right off the bat, but maybe not.
No. I'm moving on to the topic. We're way over time.
I'm your ice cream man.
Stop me when I'm passing by.
Sweet.
This one is a shout out to Caroline.
Okay.
Shout out, Caroline.
Caroline asked us to do a show on bleeding deacons.
Bleating, as in B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G.
Yes, like sheep.
Bleeding Deacon.
Yeah. And Shelley had a good twist on how we should do this show.
I did?
You did.
Oh, you mean like not just in committee type of things, but also in the program?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I see a lot of that. You get now. My take on the whole.
Why don't you give like a definition so that there's people that are out there that are going, what the heck is a bleeding deacon?
Okay, a deacon would be like somebody, like in a church, a deacon is somebody that's sort of in charge of the lay people.
Right. So in program, would we say that's people with a lot of time?
A lot of time. People that have been around for
not
a while.
Really
that,
in charge.
Who feel they're in charge.
Who feel like they're in charge.
Okay,
that
gotcha.
Act like they're in charge. And bleeding because they're constantly talking. Nah, 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 nah.
They have a little amnesia about certain traditions.
Right.
Perfect.
Well, and it's not always the old-timers that are like this.
But it mostly is.
It mostly is, but it's not always the old-timers. It's like people get some program or they get some time and they decide that this is the way it should be done. And if anybody does it any other way, they are wrong. They're going to get loaded.
Yep.
Immediately going to get, like, any day now you're going to run off and drink because you're not doing it their way. They have serious control issues. I've seen that in real life meetings and program, and I've also seen it a lot online.
The book tells us that that's the way we are.
I know, but
you're supposed to be working on that by the time you get time.
The program is the first 164 pages of the book.
Yes.
And you're supposed to follow the instructions in the book.
Yes.
That's the basis of the program. However, you get some people that come in, they get a few years or whatever, they might have some good ideas about maybe how to do a panel or, you know, maybe a fundraiser or something, some good idea that they have.
This
that
is
might...
the way the panel is done.
Yes. And then, yeah, and then you get the bleeding deacon that comes in and says, no, we do the panel this way because that's the way they do it, so it has to be that way. And I think it stifles the program. I think that, you know, other than adhering to the first 164 pages that we have to allow this fellowship to grow. And it's difficult to do that when you have a bunch of people who've been doing it X number, you know, a certain way for 20 years and refuse to let go of the reins. The reason we give newcomers commitments is so that they can get, you know, acclimated and get into the program. And, you know, maybe the new coffee maker you get has a great idea about how to do coffee that's never been done before.
It's a good idea to teach new coffee makers, though, that the way you make coffee is not you fill up the basket with coffee. And fill up the thing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good idea to generally, like, maybe show somebody the proper way to make coffee.
Okay. You know, I was in...
I know, it's 2 tablespoons of coffee for every 6 ounces of cold water.
There you go. Okay. I was in a meeting the other day that I do not usually go to. I just, for some reason, on Tuesday, I happened to go to 2 meetings. I went to one that's called the happy hour meeting. It's an hour-long meeting. I got to tell you, there was a grip of people in this room, 100 people. And you know what?
What?
I used to live on the roof of this 502 club, and I knew out of 100 people, I knew 6.
Really?
Five
you know
of them were at the tables, because there's tables, and then they're where you can sit pretty close to where the leaders are.
Yeah.
And then there is the seats.
Yeah.
5 of the 6 people that I knew were at the tables.
Yeah.
One guy was actually had a commitment as a coffee maker. But the bleeding deacon thing, you could see, they all called on certain people. Like, this is the way it's going to be. It's like...
And it's always like that at that
meeting. No newcomers are sharing. And no people that don't come around. I mean, and I actually knew the guy that was leading the meeting. But you could tell that there was kind of the unwritten rule that there's going to be like a series of 5 or 6 people. Because there was a... This guy asked this other guy to share, and I knew who the guy was, but I don't know him well. And the girl next to me go, oh, again. You know, it's like you could tell that this guy gets asked.
It's like what they say when they call on you in meetings. I hear people.
Exactly.
Go, yeah.
The same kind of thing. It's like you could tell that they always do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
This guy always does it this way. And there's other people in the audience that don't think that's the way it should be done.
Yeah. You know, one of the issues that I have in the program, I am a GSR right now.
Yes.
I will continue to be a GSR until the convention
next year.
Until the convention next year, then I'll give up my commitment because it will have been 2 years.
Oh, boy. Those meetings are in trouble.
And, but I was there last year when it came time to elect new officers.
Yes.
Mm.
It was like rearranging chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah.
The same people just took new positions.
That doesn't allow for much growth.
No, but you know what? It allows them to continue to do things exactly the way they want to do them.
Yeah, but you know how a company stays dynamic? When they have a problem, Bruce and I were talking about this the other day, when they have a problem mm-hmm. and the same four guys have been working on the problem for a month and they haven't gotten anywhere with it, they bring in an outside set of eyes to look at the problem.
Yeah.
And then it gets solved.
Yeah, except for in our fellowship, I noticed that when you bring in a new set of eyes, the first thing everybody does is looks for the fact that the new set of eyes aren't doing it right.
Yes.
True.
And you know what? Along with the discussion that Shelley and I were having, I worked for a company, and what they would do is every manager would go to another group for a week or two. That you didn't know anything about that group, because you'd walk in there and you'd be looking at something. You'd be like, why do you guys do that? And never fail.
Because
the guys that are in that department are like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And, but without fail, someone would come into my department and everyone would go, what the hell is this guy talking about? And then we'd look at it later and we'd go, that was a pretty good idea. You know, the people look at it differently. And you know what? The people in those positions, mm-hmm. like what Mark's talking about, it's really sad not only that these people are just, because I don't even know if it's they necessarily want to every time, but like if you're in a meeting, like a thing like that, GSR, or a convention committee or anything like this, and you're one of the only people there, mm-hmm. who else are you going to elect to do something if there's no one else to elect?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really funny because it's like the office manager becomes the vice chair becomes this person, the special events person becomes the secretary becomes the
coffee maker.
H&I rep, the H&I rep becomes the, you know, they just rearrange the positions, you know, but it's the same people.
Ideology, too.
And the same ideology.
Well, and, you know, here's something I was thinking about, is that a lot of people, that newcomers in the program that actually do kind of stick around and are around for a few years and maybe they've taken a few commitments at meetings and stuff, they may be looking for ways to get more involved, but no one ever asks them, come and be on this committee or come and be in this, be a GSR, but do this or do that.
Right.
And the people that are in those committees mm-hmm. might not necessarily want new people, so they don't ask. Mm-hmm. Like when we were at the, you know, the convention committee last weekend, mm-hmm. and everybody said, okay, we need to start asking people because they want new people to come in.
Yeah.
But other groups don't. And, right. you know, it makes mm-hmm. for a lot of stagnation.
We know a guy, our friend Lee H, was mm-hmm. a GSR mm-hmm. for CA. Mm-hmm. And I went with him once.
Oh, you used to drive him nuts.
Back in the day. Yeah, but here was the thing. I myself not familiar with this, but he is the, what is it, somebody's rules of order.
Robert's rules of order.
Now, Lee goes in, and they are, whatever the hell they were arguing back and forth about. And Lee is sitting there, and he's telling me, because I'm not familiar with Robert's Rules of Orders, but he's like, unbelievable. And I go, what? And he goes, these people are so entrenched in the way they think it should be done, they're not even paying attention to the way it's supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about, you need to do this, you need to do that. And, you know, and they all looked at him like he grew a second head.
Yeah.
And in one of the, I don't know, the manuals or whatever, it's like, you should follow Robert's Rules of Orders. He's like, they don't at all. He goes, they don't even at all. And he goes, you can't do, like, well, people were doing things and nothing's getting seconded. And I mean, right. it was like all kinds of things. What mm-hmm. are you guys doing? Because that's the way they'd always been able to do it.
I think it actually states, I have a service manual in the house. I think it actually states in the service manual that they're supposed to follow Robert's Rules of Order.
Well, you know, here's one of the things.
It's really basic.
Here's one of the things. I'm a GSR right now. I was last a GSR like 24 years ago.
Wow.
24 years ago, it was more the Marcus of Queensbury rules.
Is it? Yeah.
It was no
three knockdown,
no
rule
hitting below the belt, no rabbit punching.
Three knockdown rule.
Yeah, you know, and now it's Robert's Rules of Order. But back when I was there,
are any of those people the same?
Yes, one of them is.
Wow.
But it's cool. He's actually on our convention committee with us. And
I know. It's got to be.
Yeah. It's only one guy can be. Yeah. But, you know, but it's really funny because when I was at GSR 24 years ago, nobody had more than 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, there was no more time than that.
No, there was no more
time.
And you
CA.
Know what? And everything got done. And events that you had huge turnouts. I'll give you an example.
Of course, CA in the 80s was hot.
Yeah, but I'll give you an example. This Friday, there's a big 70s disco night roller skating event being held.
Right.
I don't know anybody who's bought a ticket for it yet.
I don't either.
We were supposed to, weren't we?
I don't know. I don't roller skate, so...
But you know, but it's this Friday night, and they're calling me asking, have any tickets sold? And from what I've heard from, I don't even hear it announced at most of the other meetings I go to. You know why? Because it's not for one of the meetings that's in the immediate area that the people who are the main people in the group support. So therefore, they don't even talk about it.
We should have that as a topic sometime, because we're getting a little bit off topic on this one, but we should have that as a topic sometime. You know, being of service, not running things, but like participating.
Yeah.
We had a thing the other day. We were the meeting of the month. Two people, to their credit, came from far away. I told Mark that night, God damn it, you know what, the next time there's a meeting of the month,
we need to go.
I don't give a shit where it is, I'm going. Because you know what? We had the same amount of people we always have, except for two extras.
And you know, and I got to give them credit. They're both on the board, and they took the time to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, those guys, they rock. Yeah. But you know what? When it's the meeting of the month, it should be more than two people that are on the board that come to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first time I went to a meeting that was meeting of the month, the entire board came.
Oh.
I mean... There were like...
I remember the Thursday night meeting being meeting of the month back in probably 1990 or 92, and it completely overflowed the room.
Yeah. Yeah, and when they did it, it was the Tuesday night meeting at 667. Now, and you've been to that meeting many times.
Yes.
Usually you have a table full of people.
Yes.
You know, they line up three tables. It's a table, pretty good meeting, 15, 16 people. They had a ring of chairs completely around the room that were all
full. You know what
full.
That means? They just don't like our meeting.
Yeah, it's us. It's clearly us.
Well, now that we've sat around and bitched about everything.
We're bleeding deacons.
We're bleeding deacons.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about it?
Don't you know That's how right. it should be done?
That's right.
So. You know what? Think about that. In a way,
yeah,
we're just a bleeding deacon because we're saying how it should be done.
Right.
In reality, it is how it should be done. Mm-hmm. That's the whole purpose of meeting of the month.
You know what?
But
in reality, if we want to do something about it, we will put together a group, and we'll show up 10, 12 people strong, just like back when there
the
used
meeting
to be groups
of, the month,
of people
yeah,
who traveled around.
Wandering juice berries.
I had a good friend that I worked at EarthLink with, and this guy had a thing in AA called the Wandering Juice Berries, and he had like a list of like 5,000 people, and what they do is... Friday night, they go to a different meeting, and they send out all these emails. They say, look, we're going to meet at wherever, Denny's or wherever. We're going to have dinner, and then we're going to go to this meeting. And they bring a gigantic coffee maker because they'll show up to some meeting that's normally got 12 people, and they'll bring 40 people with them and just show up. And they're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do about coffee? No worries. We brought coffee. You know, we brought a big thing. You know, it was awesome. We should have that, the meeting of the month group.
Yeah. You know, like Sunday.
I'm all for that.
Sunday, we usually record on Sunday evenings. I don't usually go to a meeting on Sundays.
Right.
Last Sunday, we recorded in the afternoon.
Right.
About 4 or 5 months ago, I was asked to speak at a Sunday meeting out in La Crescenta, which is a bit of a hike from here. Mm-hmm. So I went to that meeting Sunday night. It's the first time I've walked in the door there since I spoke there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, I got a great reception, and I saw a lot of people that I see at other meetings that's one of the meetings they go to. And I went to that meeting, really good leader, great sharing, and the whole meeting went for frozen yogurt after the thing. Huh. It was just a fun evening. So, you know, so yeah, we need to go participate more.
And bleat less.
And bleat less.
Shelley?
Yes?
What would your final words on bleeding deacons be?
Why do you always go to me first?
Because you didn't talk recently.
Huh.
Of course, I go to you first, even if you just finished talking. So, to give Mark a chance to get his good thing going.
I would say that, you know, once you get some time in the program and, you know, you've worked through the steps and everything and you're being of service and stuff, you know, it's okay to let someone else have an idea. It's okay to let somebody else take the lead on something. Just because you're used to doing it a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that that has to be the way it's always done.
That's good. Mark, what's your final words on the subject?
Nominations for board positions start in November. And you know what? People should just show up.
Yeah.
And I think every board member should bring somebody in to replace them and walk away for a year.
Probably not a bad idea. My final words?
Yep.
Meh.
There you go.
Meh. 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 Shelley.
What?
Do we have any friends online?
Yes, we do. That's intherooms.com.
.com.
They are an online recovery community. You can go and put up a profile. You can go to chats and meetings. You can write your own recovery blog that some people might read if you're lucky. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and
That's
listen
us.
To the show on our embedded player while you surf the site, and it's all free. And I also... while we're on the subject, if you're on Facebook or MySpace or anything like that and you see one of our embedded players, just give it a click. Maybe run it through about halfway. That helps us out.
You could run it through all the way. But a lot of people don't realize on Facebook, if you click like one of my posts and it's got the thing and it's a, you can click right on it and play, you can always go up and to your link to profile or something and right-click on it and say open in a new tab, because you can leave that running in the background and it will play and you can go surf around other pages. Just in case you're not familiar with how to do that.
Right.
Mark, do we have any friends back east?
We do. We've got Bruce.
A nice guy, the other white meat.
Bruce, a good guy.
I dig him. So, had a chance to meet him, and we didn't quite hook up. We were up on vacation.
Yes.
He came all the way out from the East Coast, and we were on vacation up north.
Well, I'll tell you, sometime in the near future, I fully expect to be in the Philadelphia area.
There you go.
And I will make a point to call Bruce and
take your waiters.
Well, no, I'm going to wait till it dries out a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, probably by the time it dries out, it'll start snowing.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, Bruce has the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go up on our site, which is recovery101.net. Shelley.com. She's really mad.
She dot com.
I know. And anyway,
Manic.
You can go up on our site, recovery101.net. You can go to the 12-Step Gazette link and click on it. And you can go up and read his fine, fine publication. Very entertaining. A lot of great articles. I read a lot of the articles and come up with a lot of ideas for topics on this show because there's just some really good articles that are written in there about recovery.
Yeah. It's a fine, it really is a fine, fine publication. It's totally cool.
Yeah. But you can read it online. You can get emailed to you. You can get the subscription.
Subscription.
And have it mailed to you via
it sounds
the,
a little bit like you've been drinking when you say that.
Yeah, I know. And and you can...
Yeah, I can't. I don't do that right.
You know, and the United States Postal Service, be it as it may, will deliver it for
What's
you.
What's left of it?
If you have an Alano Club or a recovery house or something like that, you can contact Bruce and he will send you numerous copies.
Yeah, several.
To strew about the place. And if you're interested in a franchise, you can contact Bruce. And he will give you all the information
you need.
Yeah,
everyone out there that's bitching they don't have a job.
Yeah, listen, it's a small seed money thing that you need to get things moving. And he will give you the information you need. And
it's
Bruce
almost,
will help you out. Bruce will help you out every way he possibly can.
It's nearly turnkey. I mean, it's not exactly turnkey, but it's nearly turnkey.
Yeah. And he'll give you all the information you need to be able to produce the 12-Step Gazette in your own little corner of the world.
Sweet. Don't forget Recovery Idol. You heard at the beginning of the show that was a submission that was sent in. You think you can do better? Well, then do it. Send it in.
If you don't think you can do better, do it anyway.
It's got to say Recovery 101 in it somewhere. Yeah, you know, it's up to you whether you mention our names or not or what you want to talk about in it, but it's got to say Recovery 101, 30 to 60 seconds, and we will play them. If we don't like it, we may only play it once, but you're going to get on sometime.
If it sucks, we'll play it once. If it sucks really bad, we'll probably play it numerous times.
Yeah, there you go. if you'd like to send those in, you can use any of our email addresses, which are as follows. recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, and recovery101radio@hotmail.com. And if you'd like to join the crack staff, that's right, the crack staff, our crack advertising staff, not our staff that sells or smokes crack, recovery101radio sales@gmail.com. And, we've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn serious.
I sure as hell don't.
Okay.
Eight Days Clean.
Shelley. Our band of the month, 8 Days Clean. By the way, they have a new website. It's 8daysclean.com. That is a Roman numeral 8. So you want VIII daysclean.com. You can go check out their brand new website. I believe you can even buy their CDs from that website. Or I know you can get them at CD Baby. Go there and search 8 Days Clean, VIII Days Clean. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I'm going to bed.
Our tears run deep beneath us.